Wow.
Are we starting?
Wake up. I call to meet, call to order the meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. And we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and actions. Thank you. Quorum call.
Bonnet. Collar.
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second? We have a proof of public. What?
Somebody on the subcommittee has.
Yeah, Pat Bond seconded it.
No.
Director Bennett.
Fowler?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
And I have a proof of publication of meeting notice in this binder also. So, agenda item number 6, review and recommendation of government relations contract renewal with Catalyst Public Affairs, John Winkler and Tim Gay.
Mr. Chairman, on October 19, the Board of Directors approved the contract with Catalyst Public Affairs Government Relations Services beginning December 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022. Was for a fixed monthly payment of $3,500 from December 1 of 19 to June 30th of 20, then a monthly fee of $4,001 from July 1st, 22 through the end of the contract, June 30th, 2022. So again, this contract expires at the end of the month, and it's reached out to Public Affairs Tim Gates here if there's any questions. And we're recommending a $4,000 a month contract extended through July 1st of this year for a 3-year period in June 30th of 2025. And Tim's here to answer any questions you may have. Any increase in fees and extending that contract for 3 years helps lock us in those fees for the 3 years. So, happy to answer any questions that you might have. And Tim's here to answer.
Tim, has there been any enhancements to your program since you first started and where we are today?
Yeah, and first of all, we really love working with you. Our team has grown very power. We've had most of my government office in the legislature for 15 years, which is a great addition. So we still have the original team that contracted with myself, David Broad, Caleb Reeves, and Carton Martin. And we're growing, but as we grow, we're still providing, I think, great service. I'm still a principal of this account, so here's principal and all, but I really pay attention to this one. And the reason we enjoyed working so much and we didn't put any increase in here at all is we work very well with John. John's great to keep us informed of what he wants done, and we just have with him, with you all too, you're engaged, it helps a lot. But we're using him to go to fundraisers, to spread a message, so it makes it easy when the client is engaged with us. It's not a lot of work. We really enjoy it. We believe in your product. I think we've learned over the years what your mission is. Every now and then, you know, like anything, we'll drop the ball, and that's why we talk with John all the time, to kind of make sure we pick it up as it goes. So, we do a daily briefing. I don't know if you get that or weekly. We're always looking for ways of making up what we're doing. We just had a retreat ourselves to see what we can do better for every client. So we're constantly trying to do better. Flex on our service to not only you, but all our clients. So.
Yeah, I actually appreciate that weekly because it's cross-spectrum. And it's more, I guess, holistic for me to go, okay, this is what's going on, what the heavy lifting is. So when we ask questions here, we're a little more knowledgeable than, you know, Joe Scarpelli or something.
Yeah, and I don't want to spend a lot of your time, but I appreciate you letting me speak. But on that, the direction travel, we are looking at that. And one of the ways we want to enhance is our daily, so then we don't want to regurgitate the news. So then during the legislative session, we'll have a more weekly list. So we're looking at our focus. We just hired a advertising marketing agency to help us with our digital outreach to clients and others, but mainly to the clients. How do we communicate? How can we communicate better? What do you want to get? Texts, emails, and good old fact, you know, meetings, how often. So we want to kind of standardize that and make sure that this client wants this. You may want us every meeting all the time, and that's great. Others don't call me quarterly, just keep me posted. So, but we are kind of getting more of a standardized way of getting with people, but not commodity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Good, but not commoditization, that everyone gets the same thing. So, because it is a knowledge industry, and you have to learn your industry. And we know the legislature very well, I think. But we have legislative experience. So, but yeah, so we're trying to improve.
Thanks, Tim. I move with staff recommendation as written.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any questions from? Is there any public here who would like to address this?
You got to mention it anyway.
Director Jim.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Just a comment. I appreciate the reports as well. As a matter of fact, the one we just got about the candidates. The legislature is excellent. Thank you very much. Good summary, good background. I've always been, you know, it's government relations contract, and we deal with different levels of government. Obviously, the legislature is a main focus. Perhaps periodically, when you deal with the Corps of Engineers, a big government agency, that sometimes we need you. If John can't handle it, he can handle most of it. Thank you, John. But yeah, but City of Omaha, Douglas County, Suffolk County, others, if during the year you inject in your monthly report to us any activities for that regard, it kind of helps me round out what we're buying for our service. So, yeah.
And that's what we're working on now, our newsletter, both narrow and whatever. And a few years ago, we bought a fundraiser with what's going on.
Submitted regarding candidates that was on our agenda. That's going to need to be updated. You'll be sending that out again.
Yeah, I'm actually coming Thursday to talk
about that. Okay, I think there's something in the paper about them finalized. I think there's going to be a recount.
That's as of, yeah, we update. I'll talk about that Thursday.
Oh, Thursday, okay.
Are there any other questions? If not, let's roll call vote.
Comment?
Yes.
Father?
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes, and we are adjourned.
Thanks, Tim.
I did. Did you see that?
No idea. I'll call to order Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting, June 7, 2022. Item number two, Notification of Open Meetings Act. It's already been read, but I'll read it again. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that we use for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you very much. Roll call.
Bonnet?
Present.
Fowler?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Deezer?
Here.
Chairperson?
Aye. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved. Second.
Anyone wish to comment? All right, roll call.
Bonnet? Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bud?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Aye. Item number 5, proof of publication of meeting notice will become record. Item number 6, review and recommendation of Papio Missouri River NRD District Policy Manual revisions, agenda, Amanda Grant and Meyer Hush Beckwell. Now, I understand this item has been, everyone has been a summary of the changes to the manual. Hope you've had a chance to review them, but go right ahead.
Thank you. There's quite a few changes, and so hopefully everyone has a chance to look at them. So I'll run through a summary. I'm next up, though, just to start. So this is a real group effort. Everybody here really contributed. We needed to update the policy manual for a while, so everyone did a good job of digging through the policies and programs, projects they have to update. So there's a lot of other folks here that can help answer questions if you have specific ones. But maybe we'll just run through like each category and see questions. So the overall policy 1.0 to 16.9 has to be held over for 2 months. So these first categories we'll talk about are ones that get held over. First, under Board of Directors, which is policies 2.5, the major changes in there are updated verbiage for rescheduled board meetings, which is just kind of wordy and complicated before. We added virtual meeting options per state statute to address if you have any questions, and then updated the duties of executive committee to include general manager employment agreement, just because that's historically where that's been completed. So those are the major changes in that section. If there's any questions or...
Specifically, how would the open... are these Zoom meetings, virtual meetings, Zoom meetings on the internet? So how would that work exactly?
The reason it changed is the Open Meetings Act got revised to allow for virtual meetings. What the statute didn't tell that gets initiated with the board. So what I did was just mirror the language of emergency meetings, which basically the chairperson can, on his own motion, decide to have a virtual conference, a virtual meeting, or three direct. But keep in mind, there are certain requirements in the statute. I didn't list everything in the statute, but it says needs to be in compliance with that, including one director needs to be in person, and then you have to make documents for and available and give people access to it.
So if somebody, what if somebody's, does this apply to somebody on vacation, if they're gone, and they can Zoom in and see it then or not?
No, the whole meeting would be virtual. It wouldn't just be a company one person who's on vacation or doesn't want to drive in. The intent would be the whole meeting. There's significant hoops you have to jump through to make that available, like posting it to the public.
Okay.
So it's really intended for pandemic emergency type.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Are we covering each paragraph as we go on?
Sorry.
Are we covering each paragraph as we go through, or going to get a more?
Well, I think she's going to give a summary.
I think we can cover policies. This is 2 through 6.5 covers board of directors, so we can do
however
we want to.
I'm talking about that. It might be a matter of terminology, but the chairperson has her own motion. Is that the right word, motion? I mean, I think legally it is, but it implies, I make a motion. No, I make a state or make a directive. You know what I'm saying?
Is there a
discussion
on
the virtual meeting with an advisor should be a second, I guess. And that's just a... I might be in picky.
I like.
And that's in the second page, too, on 4.0 and then 4.1F. If that's a legal good word, I'm okay with it. Well, you made a motion, but what about?
I think Director Bradley had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question, I guess, about election of officers. And we have here a 3.0 officers appointment. The officers of the board shall be a chairperson, vice chairperson, secretary, and treasurer, and then some shall be elected by secret ballot at the July meeting of each year. But what about when, is there, if I'm not finding it, when we elect chairperson? Okay, I guess I get. Shall be leaving. Secret ballot. I guess I was wanting to maybe have that a little bit more spelled out. Is this particular section 3.0? Is it? Oh, I guess. Look at other boards, councils of this size or magnitude. Like if they're elected each year, and is there a rotation of the chairperson, vice chair, secretary, or treasurer? Some boards and councils, they have rotation, but this one, it's just an elected. And I don't know, is that NRDs across the state do it this way? Are we locked in doing it this way? And can we have, like if you look at MUD, Bellevue City Council, Omaha City Council, on and on, if they rotate the chairperson, vice chairperson, and if can we entertain that idea?
But I don't think there's anything in the policy to say we have to rotate. I just think that's an agreement they have with among the council people that they're going to do that. I don't think there's any, at least in Bellevue, I don't think there's a policy that says you have to rotate every year. So.
I know on our school board, it's election every year. And all the officers are elected. Every year, nominations are accepted. Same process we know. I don't know the end of the board how they. I'm sure there's nuances, but this has historically been how you select your leadership. I mean, change that.
There's not a statute that covers the elected officers, so I think it would be within the discretion of the board to make the policy or change the policy.
And, just like a MUD, they rotate. Omaha City Council, they rotate. Would this body consider rotating the chairperson, vice chairperson?
Is it in their policy at MUD that they do that, or is that just an agreement they have among themselves?
Yeah. Well, maybe we can have, look at that maybe, and by the next meeting have that reported to us if possible.
Yeah, I mean, these would be held over anyway, so we could get some of that information. You guys can consider all that.
Please.
Chairman. Yes. Larry, I don't think that will work for us. We have a rotation of directors every 2 years. We start getting, city council, 4-year terms all of them. They all are up for election. We stagger our terms on purpose. If we started, I don't think anything's broke. So my personal opinion is it doesn't matter what city council, MUD does, OPBD is a 6-year term. If they want to rotate around, matter of fact, I think it's a under gentleman's agreement for city council. Danny Bailey, where are you? that the vice chairman moves up. But I don't think it's in the city home rule for that. But I don't want to, personally, I'm not in favor of it. I think we're doing fine. As long as we, next month we'll have nominations for all officers and go through that process.
Mr. Chairman. Well, I'm sure it isn't broke because you're elected chair year after year after year. So it's not broke. And I don't want to, how should I say it? This isn't communist Russia, where a certain person's in charge year after year after year after year. We have to have perhaps, think about rotating this. And if you put it to where I don't know, rank and file. I mean, if you've been in on the board for 10 years or 15, 20 years, I mean, should we rotate this, chairperson, vice chairperson? I think, you know, we should entertain that, and maybe, in a sense, and I, to ensure there's no, for checks and balances. And I'm not, you know, I would pretty much say they're on the up and up, but in the future, or for the way the citizens look at this board, I would think it'd be a good idea to think about it, you know, talk about it, and make sure we'll vote on it if we can a resolution or a motion down the road, but to maybe think about rotating the chairperson, vice chairperson, even if it's a gentleman's agreement or a ladies and gentlemen agreement. It could be something to really look at, like other boards and councils do.
I guess my question is do they look at it as a matter of policy, or do they just do it as a gentleman ladies agreement? And I don't know if at least in the Bellevue School Board, I don't think we have it in policy that we have to switch. It's just something we do. Maybe a better thing would be you can't serve more than 2 or 3 years. You know, after that, you know, then you have to rotate or something like that. But I just think maybe it's better off us doing that among ourselves rather than put it in policy. Yeah, see what they do.
Okay. Yes, one final comment. First of all, being nominated, I feel honored to be elected. You know, it's a secret ballot, and for the last 5 years I've been elected. And I appreciate the confidence years that I have for that office. I'm not going to accept a nomination next month, so that'll be open. I don't know if I've told anyone that, but since we're discussing that. So each year when we do this, there's an opportunity for all any one of the 11 of us to accept a nomination, and we vote on it. And that's been working well, and that's why I said it's not broke. And we have that ballot on purpose, a secret ballot, and that's I think that might be state statute, the secret ballot of it. But
I don't think that's the statute.
You know, I don't want to waste staff time if the majority of us are saying what's wrong. You know, to create a rotation process where someone may be a vice chair, and it's only between those two positions, the secretary and treasurer. Are duly elected each year, as you found out, and so on. So if you say you want to be vice chair, well, that doesn't automatically mean you'd be chair in the following year. Now, if I'm not doing a good enough job come July, I will probably not be voted in, and that's kind of self-correcting, as it is with all the other positions. But this is where we have the power to put in our policy, and it's not bad to discuss it. So that's my point. I'm done.
Thanks a lot, Director.
I think I'm missing a couple of sections in my book, section 2.0, or 2. The whole all of 2 to 2.7. Was that left out intentionally?
Yeah, we left that out because it wasn't revised.
So there were no red lines to this section?
Okay. So our process of electing in July is in that in
no,
that section?
It's 3.0.
Which mentions, you know, if there's an incapacitation, what's the procedure to replace that person?
So they...
It refers to incapacitating or incapacitated, but I don't see any follow-on cross-reference.
There is a test by my...
Yeah, it's 2.1.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You want to continue on that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so the next section is the financials. Which is policy 7.0 to 14.8. The highlights of the revisions in that section are to update the budgetary oversight account reporting from 10,000 to 20,000. So what that is, when you know, when an account that is budgeted at 10,000 or above, if it goes over 110%, we bring that to the board for approval. So we ask to increase that to budget the categories that are 20,000 or more. So that would allow $20,200 to be approved at a management level before we have to come to the board for 110%. So that's the description of that increase that we're proposing. The other revisions are to just be more generic about, instead of specifically naming the bank, just because of buyouts and changes that could happen, be more generic just to include name depositories. And then also to add the Nebraska Public Agency Trust as an investment option, because that's something that's available to us and we had not had that in policy manual before. So those are the financial revisions.
I don't know if there's any questions regarding that section. Continue.
All right, thanks. So the probably the most significant changes that we're proposing are in the purchasing. So this your items that we are proposing is to update construction services management approval from 50,000 to 100,000. That does not exempt us from getting bids. And it does not exempt us from reporting that to you on purchases report that comes every month with the board. But it just gives management the approval for anything that is up to $100,000 before we go out for a formal bid process. We've removed land appraisal services from RFPs because we honestly haven't been RFPing those services. They're usually individual, smaller type. Not the financials and the threshold, and also appraisers are kind of difficult to get a hold of in the area. We propose updating professional services management approval also from 50,000 to 100,000, and that would mean any 100,000 management could approve that contract, and then over 100,000 would be the RFP process that you're familiar with, where we advertise, interview, and select a professional consulting. Propose to update repair services management approval from 15,000 to 20,000. Kind of a theme here is in general, everything costs more. We haven't updated our policies in a long time. We updated the single source purchasing, which Grant can address those questions. And we updated purchases exempt from competitive bidding from 5,000 to 10,000. So that's where we wouldn't have to receive bids, and we could approve a purchase up to 10,000. And the timeline for bidding construction projects, nothing major. There were just some limitations on both ends from the how far from the subcommittee meeting we had to open bids. And we just made that, took a few of those words out to make it more flexible so that we could add, we thought that would get us better bids, you know, some things like that. So if there's any questions on that section, we can try to answer those.
I guess not. We're ready here.
Okay, then district property, policy 16.0 to 16.9. Some of the major revisions in that section were to update equipment rental rates. Haven't done that in a long time, and occasionally we do work for other entities that we would propose to update repair and maintenance management approval from 15,000 to 20,000. Again, just with costs going up. We updated language for sales and grants of district real property. We had a fee in there of $200 to review easements for non-governmental entities, which we really just hadn't been charging. And then we added 16.9, entering historical remains discovery policy, which we approved a long time ago and just hadn't updated the policy manual until now, so we're incorporating that. So those sections that we just discussed, those would all be laid over until July.
Okay, any questions? Not seeing any.
So we'll go on to, so the next set of policies, 17.0 on, all of those, if approved at the board meeting Thursday, would then become effective, incorporated into our policy manual right away. So these are, the first section is district programs. This section we propose to increase the cost share assistance for conservation assistance program from $20,000 to $50,000. And that's just a reflection of prices and construction going up and being able to help cost share significantly for folks. We updated practices, updated special projects, updated Nebraska Soil and Water Conservation Program cost assistance from $20,000 to $50,000, same reason. Increased scholarships from $200 to $500. And then we, just as a note, we removed programs that are no longer used or outdated, but that's, you'll see a lot of red lines in the section that show that. There were just, there were a number of programs that were either really specific at a certain time but haven't been, or just are outdated and don't meet the needs of the entities that we serve, so we've eliminated a number of those. We propose to update the maximum fee for conservation program from $100 to $200 per acre. And then we added a stream crossing grade control program, which really takes the outdated road structure program and the stream grid stabilization program, and neither of those, we kind of combined and updated that into something that could be usable for the jurisdictions that we serve. And then we added Celebrate Trees program. So that is a summary of the red lines in the program section.
I had one question on the conservation assistance program going from $20,000 to $50,000. Is that, does the NRD pay 85% of costs of those programs, or is that in conjunction with the NRCS, or how does that work?
And Terry's here, and he can probably answer that better, but I think the NRCS is still involved.
Mm-hmm. He's coming around.
If I heard your question correctly, Director Japp,
it's going from $20,000 to $50,000 maximum payout, but is that, are we paying just somebody who's just using the NRD for terraces and so forth? Would it be 85% of the cost, you know, 85-15, or how does it?
It's just the NRD cost for 75.5. And that's average cost, and contractors typically charge more than average cost, as you all know.
Yes.
So when you're saying it's 75% cost share, when you're talking to the landowner, it's clear that it's 75% of this number, not of what the contractor charges.
So is the number, this number, is that going to go up every year, or who determines that number?
Yeah, that's determined, NRCS provides that.
So you go by their numbers then?
Yep.
We go by their
numbers. Right, the Nebraska Soil and Water Conservation Program adopts those, and we use those, and we want to match their rates.
Right.
We want to move their, use their funds first. They really do not have a limit on how much you can cost your one landowner. That's always just been a district policy. So we want to mirror the soil and water conservation funds with the conservation assistance funds. So if you're, it doesn't matter which pot of money you get from, but we want to utilize those state dollars first,
right.
Which we have done this year. We've utilized our funds, but we got an email where there's $1.4 million of those funds that have not been utilized. And that's not good for the NRDs as a whole, because they, if there's more than a million left, they're going to cut that budget to a million. So hopefully these other NRDs are doing their due diligence.
One more question. If a landowner is putting in terrace and tile in conjunction with the NRCS, NRCS would pay what percentage, and we would add on to that also?
They would pay 50% of the county average, and we would pay 40% of that.
Okay. Of that number.
We want to entice them to use the federal funds, go through that process. So instead of, in that example, we're paying 40% versus 75%, so I'm not a math major, but that seems like a win.
Yes, it would be, wouldn't it? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Any other questions?
I have one.
Rick.
We have a lake dredging program, and I'm wondering if we have a similar program for skimming or dredging the creeks, specifically the West Papio Creek with all the sloughing that's been occurring. The bottom seems to have risen. I'm wondering if the carrying capacity is being monitored and if we have a program to dredge out the sediment.
We do not.
We fix the slopes.
So where we own, you know, on our projects where we own the creek, mm-hmm. we do maintain that, and we clear off sediment from time to time, maintain the capacity. The problem is the creek for projects, it's many different landowners that own up to the creek, so it would have to be a real coordinated effort, and we do not have a program that does that.
So, all right, I'll have some questions.
Need more program or good? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the next policy section, 18.0 and 19.8, is district projects and improvement projects. And this really is through just an update to all of our projects, just adding adding to the description, adding names, adding projects, updating just things that have happened over the years, combining the Washington County Rural Water 1 and 2, just things, getting that all up to date.
Did we update the structure naming policy? How we name the lakes?
No.
I think Director Thompson brought that up. Do we need to make a change?
It was modified previously. It reflects the current policy.
We didn't redline it.
All right.
And then the last category we have is policy 21. This looks a lot worse than it actually is. We did all of the federal compliance components, but we really have to follow all of those anytime we do anything with federal dollars or federal contracts. We happen to remember 10 plus years ago, Federal Highway and the rest of the DOT weren't getting along very well, and Federal Highway required us to incorporate all these regulations in our policy manual, so we did that. But that's not really the community address any questions you have, but we do comply with all of these. We're not getting the demand, we just don't have to do
that. Any other questions? Okay, I had asked John about, we have a resolution here, and I'd asked John about, the first said be laid over till the July board meeting. That's policies 1 through 16.9 will be held over, and then 17.0 to 21, I guess, could be passed at the June board meeting.
So if you adopted this Thursday, the 1 through 16.9 is held over till July for final vote.
Right.
And then the 17.21.2 would be adopted. We would have made those changes.
Immediately. Okay. Okay, we could have a motion on staff recommendation on this item.
So moved.
Second.
We got a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak? The item?
Yeah. So on my notes, I would be between now and Thursday, or between now and July, I guess, if I can't get those answers, check with other governing bodies to see if they what they have as far as
sure.
either policy or gentlemen's types of agreements.
Sure. Yes.
1711, the emergency dike. I noticed it says that is in imminent danger of failure. What about dikes that have failed?
Right. So we have the new program that addresses private public levy repairs.
Thank you.
Not to be confused with the one that's in imminent danger.
How often do you update these policies?
You know, we've updated pieces of it since I've
but as a
I
whole,
don't know that we've done a big overhaul.
I just want to thank you guys for going through this. There's a lot of red lines in here, a lot of stuff back. It's a good thing to do every couple of years or every two, you know, two or three years. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, would say traditionally we would do minor, yeah, minor, but very selective in December.
And especially getting rid of the, some of the stuff we don't use anymore. We didn't have that in there. And so I think this is helpful.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any additional questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Aye. That completes my report.
The time is 4:40. We'll call the FEL subcommittee to order. With that, Fred, will you serve as all members?
Yes.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Here. I failed to mention the Open Meeting Act is posted in the rear, as was said previously. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting, I do have it before me. Item 6, reviewing recommendation of vehicle equipment gas and oil account 01014051 over 110% and Martin Freeman. You mean gas is getting too high price or what?
This one shocks me.
Last summer we did our FY 2022 budget. We checked the Ukraine thing for the other things that happened this last year. So we were unfortunately way off of where we should have been. The budget now was actually $130,000 for this year. To date, we've actually spent, this number is actually a little wrong. It's worked here. Okay. Probably it's easier to say. It was $153,101 when I did this memo, but unfortunately it's now $159,000 invoice to date. And so we're actually at 122% of the budget map number. As you can see in the memo, you know, the gas has increased 38% since July of last year. Diesel is actually 67% since July of last year. The breakdown of what we spend on fuel to date is up on the table. And so we're really predicting that we're going to have spent by the end of this next month, probably a total of about $180,000. And so we're actually recommending to increase the maximum, not to exceed $185,000, but I think $180,000 is going to be probably too low. This last month we spent $20,000 in fuel, so our estimate keeps on going. Fuel just keeps on going up too as we go throughout the month. So overall, I guess the bottom line is we're under budget because of what's happened in the economy this last year and the war. So if you have to answer any questions you have on this, I would recommend it here.
Okay, also, just a note, so I've been communicating with staff, and we've sent out a communication, you know, to try to limit your driving and carpool, and you can obviously Zoom meeting if you can, bring other people here if you can. So, obviously, you know, maintenance, I think over 60% of our fuel expenses diesel, which unfortunately is our heavy equipment, and so I'm hesitant to skimp on maintenance and critical things like that too much. So, but we're doing what we can. Our use, it's just unfortunate that there's a price. I think whatever we do, then it will just get eaten up and increase cost. So it's not like we're ignoring it, it's just business as usual. We're trying to do it. Stretch out.
I'd like to move staff recommendation on the side.
For a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion from the general public? Directors?
Now that we're going to be entering budget time, are you going to budget based on today's prices, or do we build in a 110% factor, or we don't know what the price of gas is going to be in January. And I don't know if the fix whatever mechanism, if we even need to, but I guess obviously we're going to have to budget for more of our gas.
We'll be overly.
Yeah. But, yeah, it doesn't discount our conservation, but
I would expect that budget item to increase accordingly. That's all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Do we have our own tank here where we can prepay?
We do have.
Do we want to expand that capacity?
A diesel tank. Again, I don't know if just the regulations of having dual containment and things like that. I don't know. We'll work with Bill and see if that's something you want to hopefully maybe buy. You know, you're buying cheaper now instead of in the future. So you have to weigh that against the regulations and having something like that. You may eat up that just in the cost of complying with their arcane rules and you would actually save money on people.
Ever at the shop, there's actually a big diesel tank. And so we buy it in bulk. There's a thing like a fill truck, like Sappers, like that, and they fill up once a month, or things once a month, roughly. So it's, you know, it's solid fuel, and it's also off-road fuel. A lot of times it's European off-road. But still a lot of money. I don't know how you buy it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes. Item 7, review and recommendation on own named Dyke Ground Circle Camp Association, Lot 38, permanent easement purchase.
Yeah.
Martin?
Let's do the maps first, and we'll talk about
the We don't need an executive session.
Okay.
We don't need an executive session.
No, nobody here.
Let's sort of break it up. I don't think we need to go to executive session unless the board
pages. See, we do or don't?
Don't.
I didn't think so.
The last page? The last page? Next last?
I don't think we need to go to executive session to appraise value, but if the directors have questions about the project or how it should be
continued. Let's go to the one bit down.
This one is
the
this one. Right. Just to remind everybody where this is at, again, this is now Valley's actually up here at the top of the map. The lots we're talking about today are actually here in the with the red arrows at. Chocolate, so that's okay. It's where the arrows at the map. Let's go to the next map. That's right before this one. Lot 38 is actually the very top. There you go. The dike ties into lots is actually a 38 set right here. And so this is actually owned by Social Camp Association. Offered accepted the appraised value of the district offer. So it's exactly what you hope for is when you offer the purchase of the easement. But this is to control again these lots from 38 down to 54, control the degradation of those lots. It's operating as a quasi dike. It is part of the dike system. And so 38 again is owned by Social Camp Association. If you have to answer any questions you have on this related to this acquisition.
I'd like to move to that recommendation.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 8, review recommendation of land acquisition for the MSI 12, Track 4. You want to go into that or not? Can we get a motion to go into that, please?
Moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Can we get a motion to come out of the Zach, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Move staff recommendation.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further comments from the general public or staff or directors? Hearing none, roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.